Hello, have you ever kind of wondered how your business will move through transitions when it comes to how you live your life? For example, if you're a baby photographer now and you have babies at home, how are you going to run your business or who are you going to want to serve as those children get older and move through different stages? Well, today I'm talking with Christine Hamrick, who I've known for quite a few years, and I've seen her business evolve over the years into something that she is really proud of and should be really proud of. If you want to hear a great discussion between women about how businesses run and can improve our lives and how we navigate these different stages, you're in for a treat today on the Focal Points podcast. You are listening to Focal Points, a podcast by Enphoto hosted by Dori Howell. You're in the right place to learn how to build a dynamic and sustainable photography business that you love. I am so excited today because we are sitting with Christine Hamrick, and I've known Christine for several years. We became friends online through some education groups, and we've always looked forward to seeing each other at imaging and being able to reconnect, and I'm very excited to have her as a part of my podcast today. And here is a quick tip. This is her first podcast recording, so I got her first, everybody. So I'm so excited. Christine, welcome.
Thanks, Dori. I'm really excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you are here. Can you just give people a little bit of an idea of who you are, what your business is like, where you're located, what you shoot, all those good things?
Yes, I am primarily a high school senior photographer in Charleston, South Carolina. And I know high school senior photography is a big thing in some areas of the country and not a big thing in some. So where we are located, it is not. Most of the high schools are contracted with the big photographers to do the stuff for the yearbook. So I'm kind of like an extra add-on thing to people's senior year. But I have two teenage girls myself, and so seniors are where I live. They're my passion, and I love working with teenage girls to help them see just how beautiful they are and to see the things in themselves that we, their parents see and their friends. So,
right. I love that. I love that. So important for girls. So you said that senior photography in your area is not a big thing. Now, I am not a senior photographer, but I originally thought that in the South, especially, well, I guess South Carolina, do they consider that like the South?
It is the South.
Right. Okay. Where everything's like monogrammed and like the whole bit. Right. Okay. All right.
I just make all the things. Yeah.
The whole thing. Okay. Just want to make sure that I'm getting the right visual here. I would think it would be a really big deal to have these kind of specialized sessions for your kids at this milestone.
You know, it's not. And for me, thankfully, I think that the competition is just not there. There is,
okay.
I am one of very few photographers in town who just do high school seniors.
Okay.
So there's a lot of like generalists who do seniors, families, weddings, that kind
sure.
of thing. But that really is my focus. And if you go to my website, like all you'll see is high school seniors. So it's clear that is like my passion.
That's
what I like to do. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, did you start out doing seniors?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not start out doing seniors. Like many moms, you have your first baby, you get a camera because you want to take pictures of your little kids. And I've always been a photographer. I've had a camera in my hand since I was 8 years old, but it was mm-hmm. mostly, you know, landscapes and parties and things like that. But once I had my kids, that's when I started thinking about, you know, maybe this is something that I can do. And I think like for a lot of people, it starts off as a hobby and then people ask you to take pictures of their kids because that's who you're hanging out with. And so that's kind of how it started. So mm-hmm. in that world, I was asked to take pictures of other people's children and I did, and I loved it. And then it evolved into families. And then, you know, 11 years in, now I'm really just focused on high school seniors.
Okay. What made you decide, and especially you, this isn't as common, I'll say, to really specialize in an area where most of the photographers are what I would call generalists?
I decided after a long period of time that I prefer to work with people one-on-one. So me as the photographer and one person as the subject.
Okay.
I found that for me, families got to be a little more difficult mm-hmm. in the dynamics between the families. Scheduling was hard. coordinating outfits was hard. And I really just want to connect with one person at a time. And so it took me a long time to figure that out about myself. But I really just love the interaction that I have with one person. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the connection is just easier for me as a photographer to worry about one person's outfit and one person's posing and one person's details. I'm really type A. And so like being able to focus on one thing at a time for me was really a great fit for my personality.
Okay. Yeah. You just found that easier. You know what? I've never heard anyone explain it that way, but I think that's it's a really good point. Sometimes with families, extended family sessions, any type of session where you're having to manage more than one person, it is challenging because you're dealing with so many different personalities, so many different, you know, everyone's different preferences. And then you have the idea of what they think the session should be like, or how they think they look best, or what they think they look best in. And by specializing in the types of sessions where you're just working one-on-one with someone, you've eliminated all of that.
Yeah.
Which is kind of brilliant, because it could be that people notice that but haven't really been able to put it into words. It's like, this is how I work best. So because you're in an area that doesn't specifically specialize, or senior portraits are not the kind of senior portraits that we do. Like, everybody goes to the studio, gets the yearbook picture and the drape and like all that kind of stuff, right? But you're really providing an experience for these seniors and highlighting who they are at this point in time. How are you breaking down barriers with people who maybe didn't value this kind of photography or didn't think this was even an option? What are you doing in your marketing or in your community that are making people say, hey, this is something we should consider doing for our kid?
Well, I will say that for me, it's kind of cheating because I do have two girls in high school right now. Right. And so that's a kind of another reason, as a mom, as a wife, as a busy business owner, like there's only so many hours in the day to get things done. And so I had to figure out, you know, not only do I naturally enjoy working with one person at a time, but genre-wise, like this was just a really natural fit for me. I relate to these moms and I relate to these teens. It's a crazy time in their lives. They're super busy. They have a lot going on. And I know exactly what they're going through at home and at school. And so having two girls, high school girls, who are very involved in school, both in varsity sports, you know, I'm able to kind of pair what I want to do as a mom with my kids by getting out into the community at school. So I'm going to basketball games and I'm going to their lacrosse games and I'm talking to parents, and it's natural. It's not a salesy thing. And, you know, talking about what I do, it's come a long way. Like I said, I've been in business for 11 years and I'm just now being able to confidently say, yeah, I'm a photographer and this is what I do. And that, you know, I think a lot of people sometimes are like afraid to talk about what they do. And I don't bring it up, you know, like, oh, I can help you do this, but it just naturally kind of comes. It's more about building relationships. And I think in every business, it's the same way, you know, building that know, like, trust factor. You know me, you see me at games, you see that I have kids, you know that I can relate to you and where you are in your place in your life right now. So it's kind of cheating, but
you know what? I don't think it's cheating at all, because with my journey, it's very similar. And the fact that I started when my daughter was, you know, one-ish, and I wanted to photograph babies because I was in my baby mode. And, and you know, like I said earlier, before we started recording, I probably hung on to that a little too long. In the fact that I wanted to, I still loved the babies. I loved the baby fix, but her life evolved. And so the people that I had most access to changed and their priorities changed. And when you feel like you're always kind of fighting uphill to get clients anyway, because a lot of us feel that way.
Right.
But why not go where you're naturally situated? And it's the same thing with social media. When I'm coaching with my clients, it's like, listen, nobody loves most people don't love spending hours and hours on social media scrolling through and everything. So if you're trying to advertise on that, go where your people are.
Right.
So if you are like moms like us who have kids on varsity sports, who are at the school several days a week, who are interacting with people all the time, who are very involved in that way, it makes sense for us to make those connections relationally that might draw people into our studio. And I'm sure you don't do, just like I don't do this, the first time I meet like a new mom, like at a basketball, like a football game or that kind of, hi, I'm Dory Howell, I'm a photographer. Can I take your headshot? Like, that's not how we're doing it.
No. But, you know, also my kids are advocates for me, which is really kind of cool. Like I did the banners for the basketball team and they hang up in the gym. Our kids eat lunch in the gym. Like they see my stuff all the time. And I've did the banners for, you know, the senior banners for Palm Squad and I'm going to do them for the track. And so I don't talk about that stuff, but my kids have been like, yeah, my mom did that, which is kind of neat.
And it's so funny because when my daughter made varsity cheer, it was one of those things where I had to bring my camera to every event, every competition, every game, that type of thing. And I just kind of, people started recognizing me that I was really only concentrating on one particular athlete at those games. I'm not there. I'm not hired to photograph the whole cheer squad. I'm doing this as a mom. This is my love. And I kind of joke that I'm her personal Instagram photographer. Right. Because that's just the way it is. As soon as we would get home from games, like immediately within 10 minutes, if my pictures are not uploaded and shared in our family drive, I'm getting the knock on the door or I hear the little feet coming downstairs into the family room saying, Mom, have you had a chance to upload those pictures yet? I really want to see those pictures. And it's also a way that we can connect. She respects what I do. And then what she's done naturally is that when I do take pictures of the whole squad or I do take pictures of other girls when they're doing something noteworthy, she shares those and she is like my little spokesperson. Mm-hmm. And she says, yeah, my mom took these. She wanted you to have these. Yeah. And when I do things that are more general, that would be like homecoming pictures when it's a whole big group of people or things like that, I actually post them on my business site for people to download. So they get into my business world, not just sharing them off a Dropbox or that type of thing.
Right.
And I'm not a senior photographer. I'm wanting the parents' branding and headshots and business photos.
Right.
But there is a connection that makes it through that way. How have you found your business when you've kind of transition through these different genres and so forth? What have been some of the challenges for you in doing that?
So I started my email list way back at the beginning of my journey. And so that was 11 years ago and my kids were young. And so when you start an email list, it starts off with like one person and you add to it over time and people, pay attention or they don't. But it's what's interesting is that I've found so many people that, you know, my kids went to preschool with them or we've just kind of seen each other at the grocery store. You know, you kind of grow apart and now they're coming back to me, which is really, really interesting. But it's because I've nurtured that relationship for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's difficult to see the results of that work, but it is coming to fruition now.
Right. Isn't that interesting? I've had people on my email list for over 12 years and they followed me and I'm not as faithful with my email list as I should be, true confession, right?
No, same.
But I can send out an email and then I'll be walking through the mall and someone will come up to me and say, I just got your email. I'm so glad you're still in business. We haven't hired you yet, but we're going to need to in the future. Or last year, for the first time, someone who had been one of the very first subscribers to my email list finally hired me for a family session. Mm-hmm. And it was my biggest session all last year. She was wonderful. Yeah. And sometimes it just takes that long to get those relationships going. And people on your email list, send out those emails. We'll be doing a podcast on email creation and so forth in the future. But what other avenues have you used to market your business besides your list and those relational things? What else are you doing?
So obviously, I use social media, and just like a lot of people, and this one might be a little controversial because I know you want to measure your results. And this is another one of those things that is kind of difficult to measure. But so I use Facebook and Instagram. There is no brain space left in my head to figure out TikTok. Sorry. I know a lot of people are like, that's where you have to be. But honestly, I'm busy enough. I don't need to learn that. So Facebook is where I talk to the moms, and Instagram is where I talk to the seniors. And I'm sending the same essential messages.
Right. Right.
However, you do have to, you don't say, hey, everyone. You say, hey, moms over here, and hey, class of 2023 over here. So you're very specific in the language that you're using. Like, moms don't care what, you know, the top three nail polish colors for 2023 are. They don't care, but the teens might want to know. So creating content.
Unless you're like me.
Well, you know, I do like that, actually. And maybe they are. And you know what? My daughters and I have a lot of similarities in terms of, like, they would deny style-wise or things that we're following, whatever. But I try to be cool.
Right. Probably yeah, you know what? Don't you ever find, though, like, I have a couple key pieces in my wardrobe. This is not photography related at all. But I needed a really great coat for football games because football games get cold. And I wanted a big puffer coat that was, like, shin length, like ankle length, that I could just literally feel like I was wrapped up in a sleeping bag when I went to some of these later games in the season. And Lululemon was having a really big sale after Christmas. And I found one in school colors that I picked up. My coat. This is my coat, right? I think she's worn it, even though she's a few sizes smaller than me now. She I think, has worn that coat more than I have worn that coat.
Yeah.
Because it's like a status piece. It's from Lululemon.
Yeah.
It's school colors, like the whole thing. So it's interesting we say how our kids don't, they're not like us, or they would deny being like us. But when you dive down into it and you really look at their things, you can see, like, oh my gosh, I just created a mini me, good or bad.
I know.
That's what's been created.
You're right. You're right. They love your things. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But going back to social media, you know, I do plan my content out very strategically every month. I do a calendar. This is what I'm going to post. Sometimes the same thing goes on Facebook and Instagram, and sometimes not. It just kind of depends. And that's another one. I have found that to be very difficult to measure because, again, you know, I'll put stuff out there and you'll get likes and whatever. It's really hard to translate that into bookings and sales dollars. Mm-hmm. But I'll have people who never have liked one single post come to me, book a senior session, and said, I've been following you for years. I love your work. I'm like, can you not just tap it, please?
Right, right. But see, I'm that person. I see everything, and I don't tap a lot of likes. And the reason why is because I know if I tap likes, it's going to mess with the algorithm, and it's going to aim, like I understand how it all works.
Yes.
But it's not as blatant with me, and I'm trying to be better about that because I know I appreciate likes, so I should really be liking other people's stuff. Like, it's okay, Dory. It's okay if the algorithm gets messed up, and maybe they'll even show you more things you like.
Right.
So yeah, it's hard. Now, how do you schedule out your social media? Are you just posting every day, or are you using a scheduling platform?
I use Later. Am I allowed to say
that? You do use Later. Okay.
I use Later. I use the paid version of it because I have multiple platforms that I schedule, and I'm just learning how to do, if I get to TikTok, I can do that as well. So,
You know, the thing with TikTok is really, really interesting because I love TikTok. I literally... TikTok was made for me, especially with my performing background. I love people seeing, like, how they're creatively creating these short videos. And from a photographer standpoint, it's a, like, I struggle with actually creating content, but I do, when I think about it, I will repost my reels there because I really like doing reels. So I will repost my reels there. But learning the platform and what it's made for and who it's going to cater to is super, super important. I schedule on my social media too. I use a program called Metricool, and I can post that in the show notes for people. It's a newer program, but I can post, I do have their paid thing, but every platform, everything except I think stories, which you can program reels on it, like the whole bit. And I can do it for all the different, like I have a Focal Points podcast, Instagram, Focal Points podcast, Facebook, Dory Howell Photography, Facebook, the Dory Howell Instagram, like all those different places, being able to do it all at once really does create some efficiencies.
Yes.
And I know that Meta, our good friend Mark Zuckerberg, you know, you can schedule posts through their organic tools that they provide, but you can only do it through Facebook and Instagram.
Right.
And most of us want to post to Pinterest occasionally or to your Google Home, your Google Business page, or to Pinterest. And those things are, they're out there and available to you. So that's great. I love to hear how people do this behind the scenes, because it always gives me ideas of things to look into when something seems like it's not working really well. It's like, wait a minute, who are they using? Because that looks really great. So, all right, so you're a leader, friend.
You know, I have a Frankenstein system of like all kinds of platforms for this, that, and everything else. I don't have like an all-in-one. And like I've learned it, and I'm not going to learn another one. I'm like, it changes hard for me. Change is hard. So I'm sure there's other great ones out there, but I'm like, I know how to use this one.
Right.
And it does what I need it to do. And that's that.
Right. Well, I think that's, most people feel that way. And sometimes it's, you really have to stay on track and put your blinders on and be like, I'm not looking at anything else. I see the commercials. I see the ads for this over here. That looks really good, but I just don't have time to learn anything new right now.
Right.
And that's okay. You don't always have to be pulled left and right by the, you know, the newest, shiniest thing.
Yeah.
Unless you can be really sure it's going to help your workflow and create efficiencies for you in your business. So what would be something that you would say to a newer photographer, since we've both been in this over a decade? I loved what you said earlier about the fact that you've been doing this for 11 years and you're like, yeah, this is what I do. Like you've stepped into a confidence there that you didn't have before. Like I know that you didn't have that before and it took a while to grow that confidence in your business. What are some things that you think have helped you the most to come into, to step into this idea of the photographer that you want to become and be confident in just being, yeah, this is what I do and this is what I charge and I'm good with it and you should hire me?
I think there are two very distinct things that helped me get there. The first one might be a little bit surprising. I started doing image competitions and getting feedback on my work. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing like image competition to humble you. Clients, shooting for clients and shooting for image competition are two completely different things, because I think the average consumer just cares about the emotion behind it and their people and the people in the picture, even if it's technical garbage.
Right.
So for me to feel good about charging the prices that I wanted and needed to charge my clients, I felt that my product needed to be exceptional, not just good enough for someone to buy because they love their daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So image competition really helped me hone my skills to get there. And there's many different ones that I've participated in at the state level, regional level, and at other conferences and things like that. So getting feedback from those, you know, making sure that my photography skills were up to par. Mm-hmm. That was number one. Number two, and that takes time. Like that takes a lot of time and a lot of practice.
There's people who work on, what is it, the master photography degree with PPA, like for a decade. Like that's how long it takes.
It can
get some of these degrees. It can take that long to really learn how to do it.
And, you know, I'm not going to edit a client image for 2.5 hours. Like that is not an efficient use of my time.
Right.
It's like, you know, you're making 25 cents an hour on your whole thing. But
no.
So that is number one. Number two, I would say is, and I wish I had done this. If you're new, if you're a beginning photographer, please learn how to market yourself. Marketing your business. Most of us start this because we love what we do, right? And we want to share it with the world. But it is not a business unless you are making it profitable for yourself. It is a hobby. That's my personal opinion. There might be a disclaimer later.
No. That's actually, I believe, actually the official definition. Like, it's only a hobby unless you're making a profit.
And it takes it took me many years to turn a profit. Like businesses, it takes a little money to make money. Investing in your education is huge. Learn how to market. I have a business degree. It was an accounting degree. It didn't help me at all in that part. But learning how to market, who to market to, how to market, what to say. I mean, that is the framework. And I honestly just started digging into that during COVID because I was like, well, I have time. I don't have clients.
Right.
So the business background to running a business, now I feel like I could sell anything. It's hard to sell.
Isn't that surprising?
Yes.
Right.
Now I know what to do. I know what to say. I know how to how to do it. Mm-hmm. And so that was huge. And right. now I'm like, yeah, I'm a business owner.
Right.
I got this.
Yeah, I'm good. And honestly, for both you and I, if they took our cameras away, we could go into another field, yes. take the business education that we've invested in and learned, yes. and we could sell anything.
Yes.
Put me in a car dealership. Put me in a shoe dealership, right? put me in, because yes. I could make that work. And so many people get so scared of the mm-hmm. idea of selling something. Mm-hmm. Trust me, it's not as scary, but you have to learn how. We're not born.
But the other thing I wanted to say is to sell the things that you believe in, right?
Yes.
My product list, everybody runs their business differently. My product list is tiny.
Yeah. How many items do you offer?
Very few things. I sell albums and I sell boxes in different sizes. Mm-hmm. And I talk about Waller, but I don't push it because I don't love it. I don't have it up in my house. I don't have room for it in my house. I don't really care that much about it. So I can't speak about it in a way that makes other people fall in love with it. That's mm-hmm. me. I love albums and boxes. That's what I love. And that's what's on my product list. And I sell them. I sell the heck out of them.
That's so great because I love wall art. Yeah. I love wall. I have albums. Albums are great. And I know as I get older, I will probably appreciate those more. And in fact, I need to make some albums.
We always never make them for ourselves.
I know. It's like, what is it? The cobbler's shoes, children's shoes or something, right? I need to make some albums. So if you want to know how you can get an album at a 75% discount from Enphoto, listen to this here. Creating a beautiful product line to show to our clients and present to our clients sometimes can be really difficult because the options seem endless. One thing that my clients love and what I offer everyone is the Complete Set by Enphoto. It's a 3-in-1 combo product that allows me to give them a beautiful presentation box, a USB, and also a book or an album of all their images from their event or their session. And it's something that is a hit every single time. If you're looking for samples for your studio, absolutely take advantage of the 75% discount that Enphoto offers all new clients. Head over to our show notes page and grab that sample discount today. All right. So albums for me, I need to make them and I know how important they are for the future. But for right now, I love wall art. I have wall art all over my home of my family and my travels and so forth. But I love the idea of selling what you love. And because that's what you're going to be able to speak most genuinely about when right. you're talking to your clients of how you use it, how you enjoy it. So yeah, I have a few things on my price list, just like you do, that I don't love, but they're there if people want them.
Right.
And you can offer them. But I have a feeling that in your business, you're selling more albums than wall art because absolutely. That's how you're talking about it.
100%. Yes.
Right. That's just how it works. Mm-hmm. And your clients love it. They don't walk away thinking, oh my gosh, I really should have got that wall piece, but she didn't talk to me about that. So I'm stuck with this album.
On the flip side of that, I do not have a studio. And another one of the things in marketing is you will sell what you show. And yes. I'm not lugging a whole bunch of wall art samples to someone's house when I do my ordering sessions. I just don't want to. They're heavy, et cetera.
Well, they can get so damaged. Like they can get holes in them. And then I don't want to show a client a sample, quote unquote sample piece of wall art that first of all, I look ridiculous walking into the door with.
Right.
And secondly, that maybe has dings and scratches and that type of thing. Like albums I can put in nice bags mm-hmm. and boxes and I can keep them protected. And yes, they get heavy, but I can take them with me. Same with boxes. Wall art, I love it, but it's unless they come to my home and they see it in action, it's a little bit different. I have different results from those sales, but it's all good. I love giving my clients what they want. Well, Christine, I could sit and talk to you all day long about this stuff. I really just feel like we scratched the surface, but I'm so excited that you have been here with me today. Do you have anything else you want to leave our audience with? Let them know where they can find you. Anything like that?
Yeah. Well, if you're looking for my website, you can find me at christinehamrickphotography.com or on Instagram at christinehamrickphoto. Those are my senior arms of my business. I actually do have a separate headshot business, but we didn't talk about that today. That's a whole other kettle of fish.
Next time. We'll do that next time.
I separated them for a reason. So, yeah. So that's where you can find me. And if you're new, don't forget, learn marketing and know your worth. And keep up your photography education. Those are my tidbits.
I love it so much. Thank you so much. And everybody, thank you for joining me today on the Focal Points podcast. And we will see you next time.
Thanks, Dori.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to head over to the show notes page at blog.enphoto.com/podcast. That's blog.enphoto.com/podcast. Get the download for this program and link to a wonderful, wonderful 75% off special for your first sample order from Enphoto. You don't want to miss it.